There are pumpkin chips, and you know, you can use almost lots of vegetables baked in the oven, and they become sweet potatoes do too.
Yeah.
They become really good. Sweet nut. Yeah, who else is, I hear Char. Good morning, Char.
Good morning.
Veronica from Toronto.
Oh, good morning, Veronica.
Hi.
This is Darlene.
Hello, Darlene.
Good morning.
June in Texas.
June?
Yeah. I'm here with June.
Oh. Okay, sure. There we go. Well, I've been, as everybody probably knows, I've been working on intestinal issues for the last few weeks, studying it. And then I ordered the SCD diet. Specific carbohydrate diet. It's a little different than the McDougall diet in that it allows some meat, but there's also a vegetarian section in here. But mostly what's been interesting me is specific carbohydrates that cause stomach issues and why they say it does and what happens and is it true and I don't know, all that stuff. But I was trying some of the recipes yesterday, a couple of them made with almond flour instead of wheat flour. I have to say it didn't turn out really well because I added extra flour and less cultured butter, and it didn't crumble well. It was just flour on top of my apple crisp. But it was tasty. And substituting honey for sugar, it is actually there no sugar, because they say sugar causes your stomach issues. Bubble bonds cause a lot of stomach issues because the stomach doesn't digest it, and bad bacteria ferments on it and grows and multiplies. So those of us who are fighting the bad bacteria and trying to get beneficial bacteria in our gut, if we eat too much of these carbohydrates, it multiplies. And I thought, oh, is this true? You know, I was actually at my last class that I went to be certified in some nutrition, and they brought up the fact that all carbohydrates are bad. And it crushed me. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Carbohydrates are good. Well, they were speaking of grains. And I'm like, I actually spoke up and said, no, grains are healthy. Grains are nutritious. What are you talking about? That, I was so upset for 4 days. You cannot believe how it just kind of totally crushed my world to think that somebody would think that grains were bad for you. So thus the study started. And I started really looking into it. I talked to Karen a couple of times about grains and learning how, you know, some people are sensitive to them, the celiacs, and they can cause intestinal problems with certain people. So where do you go from here? I don't know. I think there's many, everybody is special. Every single person is different, and every single person will react to each specific food differently. And reading our system and reading our body and paying attention when we eat something will tell us whether or not we're sensitive to that product, and start paying attention to what it's doing to you. So that begins an interesting tour for me. And I, oh, another thing, I emailed Dr. McDougall yesterday and got an instant reply back from him. And I asked him about this. I said, is there something to do with these double carbohydrates? And
what about the colitis and the Crohn's and all of this?
We're feeding carbohydrates, and you recommend grains. And he wrote back, and he said, I recommend starches. So he clarified that. He said, my diet is a starch diet. And certain things like wheat and soy can be not good for people.
Could you repeat? He said, I recommend what? We missed that.
Starches.
Oh, starches. Okay, thanks.
Let me start for this, too. Okay, he said he recommends starches. His diet is a starch diet. And I'm thinking that maybe whole grain is nutrition, and maybe what I have done is become so focused on whole grains that I have forgotten that there's so many, well, not forgotten because I know of it, but, you know, focus on those nutritious foods, the vegetables, the fruits, the...
You get starches from your vegetables, too. Corn's considered starch, and so are potatoes, and that's why he uses the word starch instead of grains.
Right. Those are starches. And so, anyway, where am I now? I'm thinking, I really don't know, but I know that some don't do well with starches, and there's oodles of recipes in these books that I got that are according to what we do, and they look great, and they're using almond flour, and like somebody recommended the coconut flour, I want to buy that book, and hey, start trying some different things that they sure look good.
That's why, you know, that's why what I came out of both of the seminars with was a huge variety. And then if you don't already have an issue with wheat, you're not likely to ever develop one if you have a wide variety.
Correct. I'm coming to believe that you're probably going to develop an issue. And you probably already have an issue of some sort, even if you don't know it.
Well, there's varying degrees on all of that.
There's varying degrees, yeah. And, everybody's an individual, so we all need to be treated as an individual in that issue. And start journaling, like Nancy always says. Pay attention to what you're eating and how you feel when you do it. And notice what happens.
Brenda, there is a book, and I forget the name of it. I will get it as we continue to talk. The author is Braley. It's an older book. I've told many people about this through these calls that teaches you how to eliminate foods and introduce them back into your diet to see which ones you are indeed sensitive to. There's also a blood test called the ELISA Hidden Food Allergy Test that could be done. But from what I've This is all from the chiropractor I listened to on Saturdays, and he has mentioned that different labs don't test it accurately. My daughter claims to have had that blood work done through her gastroenterologist, and it came back that she's the one with colitis, and it came back that she is not allergic to anything, and I don't believe it.
No, that's not, and that's what this book that I have, Breaking the Vicious Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the tests don't come back correct a lot. It depends on what you ate that day, but it does discuss elimination, you know, starting clean and then adding different things.
Yeah, I mean, this Braley, he has talked about for years. It's an older book, and it does teach you. So if you have something that teaches you, I would recommend, you know, possibly following that and slowly adding foods back in. And he has said also, just because you're allergic today does not mean that tomorrow you're going to still be allergic. So our bodies do change and adapt. But
that is what these books that I have on the colitis are talking about. They say it could take a year, it could take 2 years, and some people never get completely better, but they do better. You know,
it's all individual. Every single person is different. There were a few things that I pointed out in actually the foreword of the book, Healing Foods, Cooking for Celiacs, Crohn's, and IBS. The foreword in here is by a doctor, gastro doctor. And a couple of the things that I came across this morning that I thought were very interesting was he was discussing the diverse bacteria in the gut, you know, how through all these sugars that we consume in the simple carbohydrates and sugar, tons of sugar, the diverse bacteria with one another sends a signal to the immune cell, which line our intestines. They manufacture good and bad bacteria that pass into our bloodstream and create messages that either suppress or trigger disease. Why does the balance of ecology of the intestinal tract go awry? Now, this was so interesting because I could see it so much with our life from, say, the 50s on through. Why does it go awry? Modern life possesses many perils for the GI, normalcy. Lack of breastfeeding prevents natural priming of the intestines with good bacteria and protective immune substances in mother's milk. Early childhood diseases promote indiscriminate use of antibiotics, which kill flora and give rise to pathogenic species like Canadia. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I know that my children had ear infections or a cold when they were little, when they were 2-3 months old. And the first thing the doctor did was put them on antibiotics. Antibiotics, I know I do an ex-nurse's pair, and she was there when the first, because she was a Navy nurse, and the first antibiotics were given. So they haven't been around forever, but they have been given indiscriminately for a long time.
What are the ages of your children right now?
30. 28 and 20.
That's interesting because mine are just enough older. They're in their beginning 40s, 40 to 44. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, at some point I know that there were something that they had antibiotics for. I can't remember even having an ear infection. I think one of them did once. And then after yours with the antibiotics, then the next thing that came along, because I've got a younger nephew, was the big push on the tubes in the ears.
Tubes in the ears, yeah, that was after my kid. We didn't have tubes in the ears.
Right there's three cycles in just a few years span that, you know, they weren't doing much with antibiotics because my kids had colds and things like that occasionally, but not, you know, I don't remember dragging them in. The only times I really remember taking them in is if they fell off and they had to have stitches or something like that. But, you know, it changes. And now look where we are with the drugs.
Yeah, yeah. And every cold my kid got, they gave them antibiotics.
Really? For cold?
Yeah. Yes, well, when they were, you know, nose, sinuses, snuffy, and well, in Arizona there were trees and stuff that just caused allergies. But antibiotics, that's what the kids got.
I remember cough syrup. That's the thing that I remember. At the tail end of a cold, there would be a cough, and I would use some cough syrup. And a couple of times, I don't know that I ever got a prescription.
Robitussin.
Right.
Robitussin.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Knock them out.
That was
good one. Yeah. Then this goes on and says, then the Western diet takes over. So you get the lack of breastfeeding, lack of beneficial bacteria, the addition to antibiotics when they're little, breaking down the good flora. Then we go into the Western diet. Introduction of evolutionary new domestic and potentially allergenic foods like
wheat, dairy, peanuts, potatoes, corn, early in life set up food allergies. Now, they're not discussing exactly things that are clean, real food, domesticated foods, foods that have been changed, altered, whatever, and things that people are allergic to, being given to them early in life. Oh, yeah, you set your kid in, I would sit my kid in the high chair and hand them french fries. The ultimate finger food. Processed starches and enormous amounts of sugar provide the perfect culture medium for proliferation and harmful bacteria and yeast. Sugar in the baby food, sugar in, you know, everything. Chlorinated and fluoride water devastated the gut. The harmful chemical additives and medications like aspirin, Maysad, inflame and abrade the intestinal walls. Stress and sedentary lifestyle then play havoc on our elimination. To borrow apt term coined by Elaine Gottschall, she's the one who wrote this book, The Vicious Cycle, has now set in, and for many, disease is inevitable. So these are things that people are fighting their whole life, the setup that's going on, not to mention all of the high fats and meats and berries. This is just the sugars and the NSAIDs and the antibiotics going on. Then to break this vicious cycle, is to use powerful antimicrobial drugs which provide temporary and partial relief from some sufferers, but if, unfortunately, bacteria mutate and become resistant. It has even recently become popular in some innovative GI circles to use antibiotics to treat it. Not just serious diseases like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, but even irritable bowel syndrome. IBS has earned a disease designation with the advent of new potential drugs to treat it. So we get this vicious cycle going on, and then they treat it with drugs that the bacteria becomes resistant to, and it mutates. And then they'll treat it with antibiotics, which kills all the good bacteria. But then you can change. People are having such great results changing their diet, eating well, and over and over and over, they're becoming well. And the last thing that I noted was, what is often surprising to patients is that the degree to which they obtain relief from systemic or extra-intestinal manifestations of the disease, energy improves, brain fog dissipates, headaches disappear, acne and inflamed skin resolve, and joints and muscles stop aching. This attests to the gut origin of some of these seemingly remote complaints. Any thoughts or comments?
It just reinforces to me the importance of building a healthy immune system.
Yeah, I think so too. And this forward was so interesting to me because it takes the person all the way back to birth. And it shows all the way through life what, you know, what is going on. And I hear, because I stand behind a hair chair and hear people tell me about their problems all the time, I hear so many different illnesses going on and so many different things, and the whole environment is, I don't have a clue why this happened and what is going on. And I don't know, through our calls and through study and through research and everything, we're at the tip of the iceberg of realizing, you know, could it be our lifestyle? Could it be the things that we take for granted? How about that ketchup that's just loaded with sugar? Good question.
Like, how about all of the above, huh?
How about all of the above? And where do we go, and what do we do about it?
Well, you work on one thing at a time, just like what you're doing, Brenda, and you're doing an incredible job, and thank you so much for the delivery of it, because I don't know how many people are on the line right now, but, you know, it may not hit everybody at this point, but it just is a big reminder to me, and I made a note, because I know we none of us have extra time on our hands, but the importance of doing what I've kept saying I'm going to do, and that's putting a title on these so they can be up for other people to scan. Because I know that when one person sees something, you know, even if you only say, if you want more information on that, go to this site, scan down, and you'll find some things that are addressing it, and people that have experience and are researching it. It's duplicating our time. Look what you've done. You're talking in one area, I'm talking in another, Nancy's in another.
Yeah, there are so many areas, and they all go together.
Well, that's exactly right. It's not one thing is more than another. It's the total picture of what we are working on to accomplish, and that is a better understanding of how to take care of our body, what to do, what it needs to have the quality of life as long as we're here.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, it's a fun learn, and they say, oh, this is so strict. And what do we do every day? People would think it's so strict, but like Sean said, one thing at a time, giving ourselves other foods that are so good, and enjoying it.
You do
one thing. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you do as much as you want to do. But then again, you can ask yourself the question, how important is my quality of life? If you don't want to spend the time, then you have to settle for lesser in most cases. Not always. Some of us are privileged. You know, we do the bad things and still enjoy it. But, you know, I don't know that I want to count on that.
Yeah. Moderation is important to remember. You know, sometimes we sneak whatever it is, and eat it just because we want. But moderation and lifestyle makes up for it. Some people can't moderate. Some people are so sick, so resistant to other foods that they can't do that. But then they learn what they can do and can't do. This little beginning of this cookbook, this lady, she said that when she began, she tried to go to eat out, and she asked for her food without the white bread, without bread. She says, so she ended up with a skinny little fat piece of tomato, a wilted piece of lettuce, and a crummy piece of bad cheese. That was all there was. So, I don't know, we rely on food that's prepared for us so much that we have no clue what we're getting in it. They say they, when you eat out, they add so much sugar to anything savory. Those main foods that we've discussed, I think it was Nancy that brought it up, salt, sugar, and fat. That's what they put in our food so we'll eat it, so they can serve less quality in our food, which has end results that aren't end results that we're looking for. So anyway, I am excited to make something new every day. Not even new, but just something else, something different. And boy, are these recipes good looking.
It does get addictive, I'll warn you.
Oh, yes it does. And most of this cookbook is using almond flour. So I'm looking for different types of flours to try and to use and see what happens.
Well, that's not one I've used, so it's going on my list. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another thing that they mention in here is they're using a lot of yogurt. And I'm sitting here going, oh, yogurt, I can't do any dairy, none, zero, none.
Ooh.
You don't need dairy. You can make your own from any of the products you want to make it from. Almond, rice, you know, it goes back to a grain, but... I'm getting a yogurt maker. But
okay.
Almond, that would be great.
Yeah, you can, well, look what's in the store. There's almond yogurt, there's rice yogurt, there's soy yogurt. Those are already being made. There's coconut yogurt. So those
okay.
are ones you can find in the health food store. And so I'm just taking it off of them. Not that I like what they are putting in it any more than I like what they're necessarily putting in the milks. But I'm just saying, those are already known that you can do. And you start with the, if you're getting the yogurt maker, you probably will get with it the packet of enzymes that go in there, your positive bacteria. I'm guessing if not, you can pick it up again at the health food store. And I'm speaking, and I have only played with it a couple of times. I have not done any of it while I've been back here for the last 7 months, and I'll admit to it, or into our 8 months. So that's one of the things that I will do when I get back home that's on my list.
So a lot of the recipes use yogurt in them. A lot of the bread ones use the yogurt. And they drain off yogurt like we've discussed on our soy tofu to make a yogurt cheese, like a cream cheese.
Oh, right. A lot of your nutrition is in what you're draining off, though, so be careful. I always drained my yogurt when it got watery, and I found out I wasn't supposed to be doing that because I was throwing away some of the best part. But in cheese, you have to throw off to make it the solid. But a lot of these other recipes that I've got in some of these books are not even, you know, starting with that much work. It was like the feta cheese, and I found that in print, so I'm going to send that down. Not to take you off topic here, Brenda. Are we still connected?
Well, this I'm still here, so.
Maybe we lost Brenda. My phone clicked, and so I heard something, but I didn't know whose end it was on. So, is there anybody else has joined us? That's
hello.
I thought you were back for a second.
Oh, this is Jeannie. I joined in about 10 minutes ago.
Uh huh.
I'm enjoying all the conversation. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it.
You still at the show, Jeannie?
No, I'm through.
You're through, okay.
Yeah, I'm through. Gracie Rose got spayed yesterday, so I'm watching her.
Oh.
Yeah, she's doing good. Doing good.
So what's new with you, Jeannie?
Huh?
What's new with you, other?
I have gone back to relying on, let's see what's in the fridge and throwing things together lately. And so I have a couple of cookbooks out that I pulled out of my bookshelf. These are older ones. One's called The Healthy Feast. And I think this one was given to me, and it's Cooking Light with Mediterranean Oils. So I have to look through it. But there are a couple of recipes that I thought I might try in here. I haven't tried them yet, so I'll let you know. But the titles, one of them is called Provencal with Pistou, P-I-S-T-O-U. And it's sounds interesting. So it's a longer involved recipe, it looks like, though. So my husband's out of town for another week. I'm thinking while he's gone, I may try some things, you know. So, I'm going to try that. The other one is the Good For You Garlic Cookbook.
The what?
Good For You Garlic Cookbook.
Oh, that sounds good.
Great garlicky dishes without the garlic. butter, gotcha.
Yummy, yummy, yum.
So I'm kind of flipping through that. I remember getting this. We sold the garlic press here in Oregon at the state fair. I think we had put on the booth. You know, we had garlic spread around. I kept it, but I've never really looked through it. So.
Have you sold yogurt maker?
No, uh-uh. I've not done that one.
Uh-huh. When do I think of it? I don't know if you're interested or not, but the name of that book is Dr. Braley's, B-R-A-L-Y, apostrophe S, Food Allergy and Nutrition Revolution by James Braley, M.D.
Hey, Braley's Food Allergy?
Dr. Braley's Food Allergy and Nutrition Revolution, James Braley, M.D., and it's an old book. It is from, the one I have is from 92.
You can probably easily get that on half.com.
I got mine at the Half Price bookstore here. And there's a ton of recipes in it, and I've never read the book. It's a, you know, 500-page book, but there's wonderful information in here.
Thank you.
Change your food, change your life is what it says above his name in the title. London Smith, who is also an MD, so thorough, clear, and important. This is the book I wanted to write. Everyone should have it.
Okay, that does it, because he's the one that started me in nutrition, if you remember. He's the one that wrote the article when our son was, oldest son was 6 years old, and I started down this path.
Yeah, he's nutrition.
Yep.
Can you spell his name?
Oh, Braley?
Yeah.
B-R-A-L-Y, James.
Okay.
It's just a good library book to have. I've referred to it.
I'll look for that one.
And another thing with the allergies, just to get back for a second, it could be something as innocuous as cauliflower. You know, when I heard that, I said, whoa, that doesn't make sense, but it could be. You don't know what your body is going through at the time.
I guess that, you know, that's part of paying attention.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Another thing I saw here, I was thinking, okay, if these people are not supposed to have any milk, why are they having yogurt? Yogurt's a milk product. Even though it has the good bacteria in it, it's still a milk product. And then I read that it's the culturing, that fermentation of the yeast eliminates the sugars.
It's not as hard to digest, I know that.
Yeah, it's because those double sugars go away. It takes care of that.
You know, there was something on the doctors yesterday, and they were talking about how things in the digestive tract affect the insulin also, and then the stuff goes into the fat cells, and this is where, you know, and the whole thing, I didn't write it down because it was really... We've heard it before, and I'm not digesting it enough to be able to explain it. But it has to do with the immune system and insulin and the fat cells. And I think that, or at least I'm wondering if that's all intertwined with what we've been talking about this morning.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. The body is such an amazing machine. We'll never have the answer. Dr. Oz said that on Oprah yesterday.
Yes, he did.
We'll never know it all.
Delighted to hear him say that. And that was from 2007, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an old one.
Yeah, it was a good program.
That's why he likes medicine, because you'll never know it all.
Well, he feels that way. I don't know if all doctors would admit to that.
So we'll never come to an end of our lifestyle calls. Yeah, so... does anybody have any questions or thoughts or something that they were wanting to talk about today or come up with?
I have a quick comment. You said something about ketchup having sugar and all that in it, high fructose syrup. There's a gal here in town who's a blood microscopist. She's from Canada. She said in Canada they do not have that in their ketchup.
Really?
And so she orders her ketchup from Canada, has a friend send it to her here. But all ketchup in the United States has high fructose corn syrup in it. It's like, wow. Interesting.
Hey, on the Dr. Braley's book, I just picked up one for a penny, so you have to pay the postage on it. There's 58 of them used on Amazon.com.
Oh, good.
Oh, good grief. They go up to $121 a book.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody either did a misprint or they think they've got something that maybe it's autographed by, you know, 10 movie stars or something. I don't know.
Maybe they think it's rare.
And they don't know that yet.
So how many did you order, Shar?
One. You guys get to each order your own to your own house. So.
There's a recipe in this cookbook for ketchup. I can't find it right now, but I'll look it up. I know that's going to extremes, but maybe it's really good and simple. It's using tomato juice and simmering it down.
Well, on Friday I'll tell you about my meat substitute. It really is simple. I'm embarrassed.
How was it to taste?
I made it into bacon bits, and, you know, it was, Denny just literally licked the pan with the to get every bit of it out. Can I have the rest of what's in there? This was a German potato salad, and it called for bacon bits. So,
wow. I can't wait to get that.
It's like everything else. It takes a little bit of time, but, you know, it's not that big a deal. Everything in life does. It's just
learning how to do something. Once you learn how to do something and you do it a couple of times, then it's not a big deal.
You cut your time way down, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I just paid a penny for it, plus shipping.
I paid a lot more than that, sorry. But I've had it a long time.
That's okay. You've gotten your money's worth already, I'm sure, with information.
Yeah, it's a good reference book.
Written other books, too?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the doctor's name was Dr. Braley?
James
B-R-A-L-Y. A-L-Y. Paid a penny for Braley's on Amazon, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't look at all the rest of them. I just usually try and grab them when they come up. It goes through. It says it did, but it's not giving me the right thing. So, we'll see.
That's $10 in shipping.
$3.99, so an even $4.
Oh, that's great.
That's their rate. I think the other one's about 25 cents less on half.com, but they didn't have any listed by me, not of... Yep, you... Amazon is a little more liberal in you typing it in. Maybe the apostrophe left out on his name threw it out on half.com. I don't know. It's a little touchier.
Hey, well, I've come to an end of things, too.
We're going to...
Thank you. Is there anything else anybody would like to share or ask or discuss?
Good call, Brenda. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, have a great day. We'll get started with our day now.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.